Let me say right here that I don't totally approve of ranch dogs sleeping inside a house. Have I mentioned that before? Maybe not, but it's true. Too much warmth and comfort can corrupt a ranch dog. I don't worry about myself, but I worry a lot about Drover. I've noticed that he is easily corrupted by luxuries, such as sleeping inside Slim's house. Okay, maybe I sort of enjoy it too, but at least I feel guilty about it. Show me a dog who feels no guilt about sleeping inside a house, and I'll show you a dog who's on the road to ruin. Road to ruin, I should say. I'll show you a dog who's being slowly strangled by the velvet glove of luxury. It's a terrible thing to see. Drover curled up on a spot near the stove, and within seconds he was totally knocked out, sleeping and making his usual orchestra of weird sounds, such as wheezing and grunting. Me, I couldn't sleep. Not only was I being distracted by Drover's noises, but I also began to notice that the floor was getting hard. I moved around and tried to find a comfortable spot, but nothing seemed to help. At last, I heaved a weary sigh, jacked myself up off the floor, and began a routine which we call digging and fluffing. See, a lot of times when your bed's too hard, you can work it around and soften it up. First, we dig up the sleeping area with our front paws. Then, second, we circle the softened spot three or four times before collapsing. Anyways, I began the digging and fluffing routine, and I knew right away that this was not going to be an easy assignment. Slim's hardwood floors were covered with carpet, but it was old and thin. I dug and dug and dug. Slim must have heard the sound of my claws scraping across his so-called carpet because his eyes came up from the livestock paper he was reading.
Hank, if I'd wanted a basement to this house, I would have dug it myself.
I stopped digging and stared at him. Basement? I wasn't digging a basement. I was merely trying to find a small, comfortable spot on his... Oh, maybe he was trying to be funny. Cowboy humor. They say one thing and mean something else. Okay, digging a basement. Very funny. I went back to my digging. He reached out his bare foot and kicked me on the tail section. Kind of gave me a jolt. I mean, I was in very deep concentration and
quit tearing up my carpet. I paid $14 for that thing at a garage sale, and I don't need you digging holes in it. It ain't much, but it's better than you deserve.
Okay, fine. If that's the way he felt about it, I didn't know what I was gonna do. Sit up all night. Suffer. Deprive myself of much-needed sleep. Just then, the silence was slashed by a loud, piercing sound. I didn't know what it was, but I leaped away from it and began barking. At first, it sounded like, well, the ringing of some kind of bell or buzzer, perhaps an early warning alarm. And when we dogs get an early warning alarm, our first and most important response is to bark. I barked, and since I wasn't sure where the sound was coming from, I delivered several bursts of spray barking and covered the entire north half of the... Okay, relax. It was just the ringing of the telephone. Slim answered it.
Hello? Yes? Not yet. It ain't 9 o'clock. Uh-huh. Reading my livestock paper and babysitting a couple of soup hounds. Who is this?
Suddenly, he sat up straight and his eyes popped open.
Viola, I'll be darned. How have you been? Haven't seen you in quite a spell. How's your grass down your way? Uh-huh. Same here. Cows are doing good.
I waited to hear something important. I mean, I'm a fairly busy dog, and I usually have more important things to do than listen to Slim's grass report. My mind began to wander, is the point, and I found myself thinking of other matters. I noticed, for example, the pile of newspapers on the floor near Slim's bare feet, and it occurred to me that those papers would make good bedding if a guy just took the time to work them around. I advanced towards the papers and shifted into digging and fluffing. Now, this was more like it. Instead of digging into a threadbare carpet, I had something with body and soul and substance. I dug and I dug, and you know, it was kind of satisfying stirring up all those newspapers. Here was something worth digging, and I could hardly wait to shift into the next two steps of the procedure. Fluff and circle the bed. I threw myself into the digging. By George, this was fun! It had been months since I had dug into a pile of newspapers this deep. I had them flying in all directions and was about to shift into the fluffing procedure when I felt Slim's foot poke me in the ribs. He covered the phone with his hand and gave me a hard glare. "Quit digging up my library, you dingbat. I have them papers filed just the way I want them, and I may want to go back and clip out some articles. You're making a mess of my house." I stared at him in disbelief. Oh boy, that was the joke of the century. Me making a mess of his house? Ha! His house was a slum area, and I'd had nothing to do with it. He went back to his conversation. "Huh? No, I was talking to Hank. I think he wants to be a badger when he grows up. He's been trying to dig up my house all evening." Well, there was another insult. For his information, I did not want to be a badger. I was perfectly content being a dog, thank you, but finding a comfortable place to relax in his house just happened to be no can of wax. Okay, I stopped digging in his so-called library and moved rapidly into the fluffing procedure. With a little luck, I might have a decent place to sleep before midnight. I did some fluffing, then went right into circle the bed. I circled it three times, just the way it's supposed to be done, and then I plopped.
Ew!
For Pete's sakes, what was that thing I'd plopped down on? It felt like a rock, maybe even a boulder. And what was a boulder doing in the middle of Slim's living room? I raised myself to a standing position and began sniffing through the pile of papers, and even went to the trouble of activating smell-o-radar. A lot of dogs wouldn't have gone to that much trouble, but I did, for the simple reason that I wasn't too keen on the idea of sleeping on a rock pile. Yes, I did have hopes of getting a little sleep if I could clear away all the rubble and get Slim off the phone. I had a boulder lurking in my bed and I had to find it. I activated smell-o-radar and set it for rock search. Nothing. A total blank for rocks and boulders. But then, I began picking up faint signals that suggested the presence of bone? Impossible. I punched in deep sniff and did a more thorough analysis. By George, all the instruments kept bringing up the same results. Bone, grade 3, fairly old, possibly steak. Well, a guy has to trust his instruments, so I probed deeper into the paper mess with my nose and, I'll be darned, found a bone at the bottom of the heap. My first thought was that some stranger had wandered into Slim's shack, gotten lost in all the papers and mess, and perished, leaving a few bones behind. But no, on second thought, that theory didn't make sense. Nobody in his right mind would wander into Slim's dirty house. But what was a bone doing there in the middle of the living room? I eased my jaws around the bone and lifted it out of the paper mess, laid it on the floor, and studied it with eyes that were well trained in the field of boneology. The results were shocking. Not only was this not a steak bone, it wasn't even a beef bone. It was a turkey neck bone. What was a turkey neck bone doing in the middle of Slim's living room floor? I had no idea. All I can tell you is that many strange things end up on his floor. Well, I felt pretty proud of myself for solving the mystery of the turkey neck bone, and it occurred to me that maybe I should celebrate my success by chewing it. That's just what I did. I had just taken it into my mouth and begun to enjoy the nice, crunchy texture of this particular bone and had lost all interest in Slim's phone conversation with Miss Viola when, suddenly, he hung up the phone and leaped to his feet. I stared at him in shock and surprise. I mean, Slim wasn't much inclined to make sudden movements of any kind. Leaping out of a chair was something you might expect him to do if the house was on fire and burning boards were falling all around him, but here and now, I noticed that his eyes were wide with something. Fear? Terror? Something bad had happened. Something was terribly wrong. The bone rolled out of my mouth, and I went straight into heavy-duty barking.
Good honk. Viola's folks are out of coffee. She's coming over here to borrow some. She'll be here in 30 minutes, and this house looks like a train wreck. And Hank, shut up your barking. Huh?
Shut up my... Okay, sure, fine. I could shut up my barking. I'd just been trying... I mean, he'd been the one who'd flowed out of the chair, right? Flowed? Flewed? Flown. Leaped. He'd been the one who'd leaped out of the chair, right? When people start leaping out of chairs and windows, screeching and rolling their eyes, we dogs are trained to bark. But if he didn't want his house to be protected and alerted by a highly trained, highly decorated head of ranch security, that was just fine with me. I had better things to do than bark, such as crunching that turkey neck bone. Now, where was that bone? I poked my nose into the pile of papers and was in the process of,
out of the way, dogs. We've got to get this place cleaned up.
Here he came, lumbering and thundering right over the top of me. Fortunately, I saw him coming and was able to scramble out of the way. His big bare foot missed smashing my nose by a matter of inches. Too bad his big bare foot didn't miss the bone. Let's get something straight right here. I refuse to take responsibility for what happened next. Remember, I was just minding my own business. Remember also that the bone had been in that same room, on that same floor, in that same mess of papers for months. Okay, maybe my chewing had sharpened some of the ends and edges, but don't forget that turkey neck bones, even those that haven't been chewed, are pretty jagged. Nothing you'd want to pounce on with a bare foot. That's what he did. He pounced on the bone, the jagged, sharp turkey vertebrae, with his bare foot. And that began a very strange chain of events.